Hey Big Dreamers, welcome to the 10th episode of the Big Dreamers podcast. I am your host, Diki Sayo, and this is a community where we share our big dreams and how we can overcome the odds of life, thereby growing together. Today, I have invited a guest named Michael, aka Amasalmis, the award-winning filmmaker. We will be having a conversation around why he chose filmmaking over engineering and what he has learned from the challenges he has faced thus far. So make sure you stay tuned for this one.
Hi, Fistayo.
How are you doing?
I'm fine. How are you? I don't know if I should say hi, Fistayo, or hi, Fistayo.
Fistayo is fine. You sound... Are you sure you're fine? You need to sound more alive.
I'm alive, man. By God's grace. I'm alive,
so
I'm alive.
Speaking with the AMVCA winner, filmmaker, cinematographer, all of the above. I'm calling you cinematographer, even though that's not part of your resume. You're mostly a director. So I know there's a lot of story you have behind how you got to where you are today. Before we get into that, is there something else that I didn't cover amongst your resume that you want people to know about?
No, it's fine, it's fine. You've hyped enough.
Okay. Now, so please tell them more about your job.
No, it's fine. You said it now. I'm a filmmaker, director. That's all.
All right. So, before you, I know that when you were in school, you didn't study this, right? So, what inspired what you study, and what made you change when you left school?
In school, I studied engineering, mechanical engineering. I actually really, really like engineering. I've always liked engineering. I was the child that would see stuff at home and open it up or see the radio and want to know who is talking from inside. I was that kind of child. And then my dad is also a mechanical engineer, so I used to be the one to assist him most of the time around the house when he's fixing stuff or if he's going under his car, all of those kind of things. It was the assistant. So, but I had long liking to aeroplanes and flying objects. So I really, really wanted to be a pilot. But Pop said that being a pilot was very streamlining. Like, you can't just go and be a pilot. So he wanted me to understand how an aeroplane worked first, and then I can do a specialization in piloting. So I was supposed to do aeronautical engineering and then do like a master's ish or go to a flying school to get my piloting certificate. But there was no proper aeronautical engineering school in Nigeria. So the plan was to do mechanical for 5 years, do aeronautical for 1.5 masters, and then do piloting school for 1 year. Then I just realized that from, I don't know, church, primary school, I've always been in drama units. Been in drama units, writing, mostly acting. So when I got to, I think it was just natural for me to join the theater group. So joining theater group, I used to write at first, like in my 100-100 level, writing was the core. And then I started learning how to direct. And then I used to direct stage dramas. I directed a few drama nights. And I think it was in my 300 level that, so you know how you come to this realization of what you want to do exactly. So I loved engineering. I wasn't doing badly at all in school, but I didn't want, I knew that I didn't want engineering to be what I did every day for the rest of my life. Somehow, I just found more fulfillment. Like, we would have assignments and maybe have a mid-semester, but I would rather go for rehearsals than... And it's not because I was unserious. I just found it to do. I just was really happy doing that instead of, you know, going to read or something. Yeah, so I think I just made a decision. It wasn't vocal yet, it was just in my head. And I would start reading stuff, start seeing stuff that a filmmaker would see in a movie. I was watching a lot more movies. And when I finished, I practiced engineering actually for maybe 3 days or 2 days.
Was watching what you're
Yeah.
laughing.
Because NYSC, my dad had his friend, Isha influenced me to get a job in an engineering firm. So I was in the repair center, like where you would repair. Oh yeah, and then I practiced engineering a lot doing my IT, which I didn't like. I didn't like that. It was so stressful. Everybody was sweaty. I don't know.
But
Boy,
people still
I don't know.
sweat when you're filming, isn't it?
Friends, it's different. And trust me, you don't want to be in an engineering like workshop, like a mechanic. I was in mechanical workshop, like it wasn't. I didn't like it. A lot of people like it. A lot of engineers like it. They love it, but I just didn't like it. So yes, so Pops' friend or partner, I was where they used to fix trailers. So the first day, spent the entire day just looking. No work came. I think we just changed one tire, but then they had me go and buy. In morning it was Alomo, in the afternoon it was Amala. Like that's all I did first. That's all I did the second day, and I was tired. I just felt like I was wasting, and so I just didn't go there. The third day I didn't go there. I didn't even do section letter or anything. I just stopped going entirely, and asked for, rejection letter, later. Sure. But then I got another gig for a media role in Hope Foundation. Yeah. So I think from there, I just kept doing design, editing, just stuff related to the media till I was able to get a good footing in the industry.
So, would you say your dad wasn't impressed after you to pursue filmmaking over
Oh,
him?
I don't think it was disappointment or resentment. I think it was more of shock for
Are
him
you serious?
because film, Mumsy always wanted me to be in the arts because I have a history in music and drama and all of that. So she naturally always said that go to art class, and all of that. But Popsy, he was, I don't know. I don't he was just really shocked. So and nobody, well, I only have one older sibling. So nobody had come to say he wanted to study something abstract as it is in Nigerian families. Because my older brother is a doctor in training. So it was just shock for him. So I had to do the whole convincing him. And making him see reason as to why film is important or why film can be important. I personally do not think parents have an issue with what you want to study. They, how do I put it? They just are concerned that what you eventually decide to do can sustain you and your family.
It's true.
That they grew up from. Film, arts, music are not things that they know that professionally can sustain families. So you just have to convince, show them examples of people that are living their careers and sustaining their families with the money that they make from these seeming abstract professions. So yeah, so it just took a bit for me to do that. It happens when you stop maybe calling for money. Yeah, so they're like, so what are you doing? Like, is this film, you know? Like, okay, so maybe it's not that bad. So. Yes, yeah, so naturally, and with time he came around. I mean, there's only so much protection that they can obstruct, maybe they can give. Yeah, so that's what happened with Pops.
Does he know what an EMVCA is?
It doesn't exactly know what all the intricate terms are, but he knows that it was important because it showed on TV. Yeah, so
Okay, so
I think.
when you won it, what was his reaction?
Oh, Pops was like the lead campaign manager. What?
Oh,
Yes.
wow.
Yeah, I mean, he came around really supportive before the AMVCA. I think the time that I had the is behind me now was at Accelerate, when I was one of the five holders at Accelerate.
Oh,
So
okay.
I called him up and all of that. So I think since then he would just ask, so what projects are you working on? Don't you get stuff like that? Like, remember, don't stay late on set, try and get home early. You still have
It's
you
usually not
can get
always the easiest
yeah.
moment.
And so this year, what if I show you the messages he had, all these, my son engineer, we want to put on this. So he would say stuff like, my son, this has been nominated for this. So he would send that to his friends and all of that. So he's been really supportive about it. So he was there, chief campaign manager like this.
So what are the challenges you faced since you started being a filmmaker, and how have you been able to overcome them? So let's start with your challenges.
I generally do not have a particular answer to this question, because I feel like it's different for different projects. I think I just faced challenges that filmmakers face in Nigeria, across Nigeria, which,
Which is
well, in Nigeria is usually lack of, I don't know, funding. But I hate to say that because I feel like people would naturally invest in what they can get returns on. So funding is one. Structure, yeah, we do not have a great structure in Nigeria for film. It's something that I am excited that so when I say structure, I mean like due process. So there's certain global standards that everything should follow, short films, feature-length films, but we do not always follow. I mean, I'm guilty of it myself. So but it's something I'm working on changing, and hopefully when I get more training it'll be easier. But yeah, so structure, funding, personnel, there's not a lot of people in particular areas, so most people just want to be directors or screenwriters or producers. But then there are really important roles like script supervising, like gaffing, that we do not have a lot of manpower and support for. So stuff like that is gonna push challenges, of course, in the long run. Yeah, but I feel like the industry is growing and growing really fast. So we're doing, yeah.
What have been the ways you've been able to, mitigate some of the challenges?
Well, for me in my set, or when I'm running a set, I make it more of a responsibility to have everyone do their due part. So if you are working with me as a costumer or as a production designer, you would immediately in our first few conversations know that it was a different kind of working environment, because I would request to see mood boards, I would request to see examples. I wouldn't just trust that you know what this character is supposed to be. I want to see it on paper, I want to see a checklist. So stuff like that that you can bounce back on and know that this is what I've seen in tutorials, which has been my major source of training. So I just feel like if every project lead or team lead ensures that everyone on his team is deliberate about their process, it would get better. So that's how I try to mitigate in my own way, and hopefully when I have a bigger platform I can do more.
Yeah, definitely. So, would you say it has been easy to get where you are today, like in life?
Easy. I don't know. I feel like the audience, people should define that. I don't know that it's been easy. I think that I put in a lot of hard work, and I absolutely believe that I'm extremely favored by God. So, I don't know. I don't know how to answer that exactly.
So, like, what is there any personal story you want to share to inspire that you say, okay, this is particularly important and this is how I was able to pull through?
I'm sorry, come again with question.
A personal story you want to share that can either inspire people based on your choices?
Personal story. Personal story. I don't know that I have a
Okay.
quote sweet. I just have pretty regular stories of failure and rejection, apply for a project and get rejected and not feel bad about it and just do the next one.
How
But
do you not feel bad? You're the kind of person that forgets easily, like forgets, like you don't dwell on
yeah,
failure.
I don't at all. I mean, you send out 50 proposals and they reject 45. I think engineering helped with that. You would learn to chest failure very well. Engineering is discipline. It's 3/15 in a test, and people will be like, "Ah, guy, you try, you try." Yeah, I know. So, in time, you learn to handle failure. But then some of them are really painful, of course, especially if you put a lot of hard work into research and R&D and submitting presentation. I mean, it just really hurts when it doesn't come through. But and I generally do not dwell on it. But yeah, that don't worry. If I think of a personal story, I would say about personal. I don't know. I don't know.
All right. So, what would you say has been your biggest achievement?
So of course I want to sound smart and say the next achievement is the
Mm-hmm.
biggest one. But for achievement, I feel like I should say stuff that's had a ripple effect on my career, and it would be being one of the 5 winners of the Accelerate Filmmaker project. It's had a ripple effect of, getting other jobs, being nominated for stuff, getting more recognition. So it's I think Accelerate platform has been really instrumental to my career and growth.
Yeah, that platform is really awesome. Like, I can see. And they started when? When did they start?
In 2017, I was one of the pioneer
Oh,
students.
oh,
Yes.
that's awesome. So, do you read books?
I read. Let me just say I read, but I don't feel like reading has to exactly be books. I read a lot of articles and like 7-page film documents and Wikipedia, but like physical books, except the information I want is not on the net. Yeah, so most of the stuff I read film related stuff.
Yeah.
So yeah.
So where do
Say
you
there's
find
hard copy
inspiration then?
books. Where do
To
I find
keep moving.
inspiration?
Yeah, where do you find inspirations to keep moving sometimes? Not every time you have a good day. So other days, how do you find inspiration to either dream big or keep moving?
Every day is Christmas for me.
Nice. I like that spirit.
That's to say. But I don't know. I feel like a gift that I'm grateful for is self-motivation. I don't know. I find that I can inspire. I get excited a lot about film. So if all the items on my to-do list are film related, yes, I'm tired a lot of times, but I'm still usually excited to do it. Inspiration, I don't know, from stuff that I see, from stuff that bothers me that I want to address. Those are the kind of films that I'd like to make sometimes. I don't know. I don't know that there's a specific source for inspiration. So it has to be God, the Holy Spirit, stuff around me, majorly as my inspiration. But most of the time, I'm mostly self-inspired, self-motivated. Yeah.
Okay. So what are your like icons or role models that you look up to?
I don't have anybody. I look
Not
up to
in
myself.
Korea. But yeah, very funny. This guy. I know I see your stories on Instagram and I see like different actors in Nigeria, different actors in the abroad, like so many. By the way, that's not a good English, but okay, let me just speak English for those are not Nigerian.
Worries.
I I see so many actors that are not from Nigeria, basically, on your story. Like, you look up to them, like Viola and the rest. So, why your icons, if you do have, anyways?
Oh, Viola. Viola is amazing. So for icons and mentors and all of that kind of stuff, I have different people for different things. So I have a different icon for business. I have a different icon for directing, for acting, stuff like that. So there's icons, there's people whose journeys, not really their craft, just inspires you. There's people who are really great at their stuff, and it's just crazy to know. So for directing, I love so let me start with Nigerian directors. I love for craft and professionalism. I love Tolulope Ajayi. I think he's a brilliant storyteller. I appreciate Mildred Okwor's work. I appreciate Nini Akinmolayo's work. I don't like to give specific names because you can
Right.
never mention everybody.
Yeah.
Yes, so directors that have sort of carved out a particular style for themselves and people know, I think that's important to do as a director. Abroad has to be them godfathers that inspired filmmaking. So from Quentin Chris Nolan to Martin Scorsese, I love, love, love Martin Scorsese. Yeah, and young directors, Akinyamọ Toshọ is like my icon. I think everybody knows I love director Akin. I like his journey, I like his process, I like what he's about generally. I respect Ryan Coogler. Ryan Coogler is director of Black Panther. Ryan Coogler has an amazing ability to turn small budgets into multi-million dollar
Yeah,
franchises. So
apparently.
yeah, and then he does great film. Yeah, so I think I'll
That's
stop
very
there.
few my notion.
Oh, are you serious? So wow. So have you seen Creed?
Come again? Oh
Have you
yeah,
seen
I know Creed. Okay, you did Creed too.
the first one?
Okay.
Now, have you seen Fruitvale Station?
Nope. Don't
Yeah,
worry.
those are
We will keep going around movies that I might not have watched.
So
So
those
I
are
understand that you get inspired through, different parts of these people inspires you. It can be their crafts, the business, their business acumen, and whatnot. So you know how to separate their personality from, their craft or from the other part.
Yeah, I think it's very hypocritical for people to assume every part of a person is perfect. I mean, even when I listen to music, there's something that I try to do. I don't think I should say this in in recording, but then I just almost naturally separate the art from the individual, because I know people that are amazing at what they do and do not have such a great personal life to my own standards. So, because it can be great to them or to other people's standards. So, I think it's unfair to characterize a person entirely by what happens in their personal lives if they are good at what they do. So, it's something that I try not to. It's a little
I
hard
would
to
have asked
separate
a
some.
question to follow up, but I don't think I want to ask that now, but it's fine.
I know what you want to ask, Messiah, but I'm shutting up.
Okay. All right. Okay, so since you say you're mostly self-inspired, what are the
I
three
didn't say
major
mostly,
quotes?
yo. Hey, God, do not go and
That's
misquote me.
what you're talking about now. So what
Yeah,
are
but yeah.
the Sorry?
I'm listening.
Okay, are there like three major quotes you have to like, oh, I look into the mirror and be like, Michael, this is and this, Michael, today is your, I don't know, whatever. So what are the
Okay,
three quotes you
let
have?
me give one quote, and I hope I should this podcast sometimes. A bird in hand.
Oh yeah.
So this is one of Usher's favorite quotes, and is one I appreciate. A bed in hand is worth more than nine in the bush.
What does that
Don't
mean?
Worry, it's an it actually has a lot of meaning to us.
People are listening. What does it mean?
So don't worry, and there's a meaning for it generally, so they will understand. A bed in hand is worth more than nine in the bush. That's the quote. Another one. No, this one is not a quote, but it's something that we've learned in business. Money for her.
Oh yeah.
Money for hand, back for ground.
So for those who are listening that don't know who Osho is, who is Osho?
Osho is the CEO of Buds IT Solutions. He's my best guy too. But absolutely unserious person. So forget that I'm laughing at this quote. These are things that we actually think of when we have projects. So if a bed in hand, let me explain it. So say three people are saying, so Michael, we want you to come on this project, blah blah blah. Is the person that pays the deposit first, or the project that is most exciting, that shows some sort of commitment to the project here, that kind of thing. But personal quotes for me, I feel like team is really important. So one of my personal all-time favorite quotes is, don't call them squad if they don't help you score goals. So don't call them squad if they don't help you score goals.
Mm.
Yes, so I feel like it's important to have yourself surrounded by people that look like they know what they're doing or have somewhere that they're going. I think it is really risky if you're always the smartest person in a discussion or in your circle. Another quote it's a general quote, but under promise and over deliver is one of my mantras. So yeah, I think that those are the ones I can think of top of my head.
So do you always under promise?
I don't necessarily under promise, but I always over deliver.
Nice. This is what you learned from Papa.
Say again.
Is this what you learned from Papa?
There are many things I learned from Papa, but I don't think I've ever heard Papa say under promise and over deliver. But I know Papa talks about being excellent a lot. So being excellent requires that you over deliver at times.
So with that, we've come to the end. And for those who do not know who Papa is Bishop Oyedepo. We went to Covenant University together, and that's why I asked that. And for those who do not know what your social media handle is, can you please help?
Yes, so all of my social media handles are I'm a Psalmist, AMA Psalmist, like PSALMIST, so like Proverbs, Psalm, then Psalmist. You shall get. Search for it.
If you want to know why you chose that name, go to my blog. We already did an interview like 2 years ago.
So you know when I Google my name, your blog interview thing that comes up, or second thing, because Access Bank has more reach. So they usually first and then your second.
And the reason why that one actually comes out is because we did it like way since. So it's like been in Google's archive or whatever.
Yeah. You are a prophetess now. You saw that. Maybe I can blow someday. I love you.
Oh, good. So I'm very happy that we did this interview. It's been fun. And let's see if we can do more again in the future. For those who are listening, if you think you want to ask any questions or if you have any suggestions that you want to leave, feel free to either send me an email, hello, that's H-E-L-L-O @thefisayo.com, or you can leave a voice message. Yes, that's if you download the Anchor app. You can leave a voice message. And if it's okay by you, I can always put this in the next podcast to let people also listen to what you have to say. So it's been awesome. Thank you for joining this podcast, Michael.
Talking to you, Fisayo. Thank you for having me.
Yo, I hope you enjoyed that podcast. So it's been a routine, not so much of a routine, but it's something that has been coming up in most people that I've been interviewing of recent. So they have a passion, they go for it, and that is what I encourage you to do. That is why I interview these people. I choose these people on purpose because I believe that they have an inspiring journey that you can learn from, and I hope you've learned from Michael today and the other, you know, 8 guests I've had so far. Are they up to 8? I think, I'm not sure. Just go to my podcast and check out the other, you know, guests I've had thus far. They've all been inspiring. They all have different stories. They have different journeys that you can learn from. And yes, I'll be looking forward to hearing from you. I'll be you hearing from me. Oh, sorry, what's wrong with you today? You guys are not usually like this. Anyways, it's been awesome today. If you're not following me, you should follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Defisayo, T-H-E-F-I-S-A-Y-O. And YouTube, I have a YouTube channel. I do more of travel and tourism videos there, a little bit of lifestyle. YouTube is also Defisayo. Every social media, it's Defisayo. My blog, Defisayo. That's www.defisayo.com. Now, I would love for you to please subscribe to this podcast if you are yet to, either on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, whatever you're recently using to listen to this podcast, please try and subscribe. We have awesome content coming for you. To inspire you to dream big and know that the sky is only the starting point. And please do not forget to rate, give us 5 star la fashion table means that it's 5 star that we want, in case you're not Yoruba. I'm so sorry, I like to speak my language, it's kind of sweet in my mouth sometimes. Yes, please, I'll stop rambling. I will see you guys next week, Friday. Till next time, do not forget to stay awesome, stay inspired. Peace.